So these are, again, just data points all taken from the GAO about the significant uptick. And it's certainly gradually gone down in its use, but it is still a viable and relevant means of delivering care during the pandemic. This is just other data points without the fancy spreadsheet. This is actually just a different time period. So the prior sheet, I'll go back, the time frame was up and until November 2020. And then this is a larger time period. And showing, again, 28 million Medicare beneficiaries, 88 times more than the prior year. Most common visits being office visits. 43% are behavioral health services. I know we've talked about this and the other presenters have talked about it. You know, the use of telehealth as a modality for delivering care, especially telebehavioral and mental health services, has been significantly utilized prior to the pandemic. States like New York and their Medicaid program have been covering telehealth services for mental health services decades, more than 25 years. So it's, obviously this is expansive, and this is all, it's being, covered more and more, and its utilization. But Medicaid had similar, fact and numbers. The Medicaid programs were obviously given that flexibility, but all of them adopted similar waivers, and they had a similar pattern and spike in use, which fell off over a period of time, but still has a significant use for mental health services. Here's another fun fact chart. But the expansion itself and what we're looking at, there's what I call promoters and cautioners. I don't really hear any naysayers out there, but there is a caution about how far and fast we proceed with providing and offering these services and expanding the coverage. And so I'm going to give you first the MedPAC's position. They have certainly reported to Congress on multiple instances of telehealth services and the value and question marks around it. There is still to this day in the last report to Congress question marks by MedPAC about the true implications of telehealth and the access to care and whether or not it really has transformed and or could affect the quality of care being provided. Interestingly enough, the last report to Congress, MedPAC indicated that they were concerned about the relaxation of provider screening and enrollment. Prior patient relationships could affect the quality of care. They actually said 84% of all of those telehealth visits by the Medicare population were actually conducted by practitioners who had pre-existing relationships with those patients. So, they still question the quality and cost, and there's fraud concerns, which we'll talk about later as well. And honestly, there's looking at what the financial impact is going to be on the Medicare program before they make these recommendations, and that's their job. But there would be the cautioners, of course, and the utility and that cost debate, which has been going on for quite some time for telehealth. Is it a substitute or is it an additive? I've read an article and. That was recently suggesting that the telehealth visits actually increase the number of follow-up in-person care. Then there's obviously other surveys that debunk that theory. But that's what's out there, and that's what's going on in these discussions. The Inspector General for HHS, newly appointed, has made public comments at HCCA recently, and the Compliance Institute, obviously the keynote speaker. But these are the comments that were made. We want to identify risks that might help policymakers best prepare for the future of telehealth. We need to have develop ways to have health technology oversight and strategy and be well positioned. At the end of my presentation, I'll talk about certain fraud enforcement activities that would support why the AGs or the IGs cautious, but these are the key topics and bullet points that were discussed at those keynotes session, and so you can take a look at that. Now, one of the proponents, obviously, then is, interestingly enough, what we have now in place is HHS secretary wants to and expressly stated that the HHS will sustain and expand telehealth after the public health emergency ends, which, from all our understanding, is probably sometime, I think everyone's thinking, about June, July, that it's going to be in place. There's the indication that they can't really give too much forewarning, but they will give at least 60 days. But everything points to that time frame of June and July if things stay on track. But what can CMS do without Congress? I mean, they can do a lot. They've done a lot with expanding, telehealth, obviously, prior to the pandemic with their authority, even though the statutory limitation on telehealth services, remote patient monitoring, again, expansion of Medicare Advantage plans. I mean, there's a lot that they can do without Congress changing the statutory language within the Social Security Act to expand, use of and benefits of telehealth. But what we do know is that there has been the extension or the ability and concerns about expanding that there is...